Well, the title of my sermon this morning is What Makes for a Happy Christmas? What makes for a happy Christmas? Well, you might wonder what quite we're going to be having this Christmas, whether we are once again, quote unquote, going to see Christmas, as the world might understand it, cancelled. Well, I remind ourselves there that this time last year, it was the so-called Kent variant that was putting Christmas in jeopardy and cancelling things left, right and centre. Well, we've had the Delta variant, and now it's Omicron that is taking London by storm and other places too. I guess there'll be a book of variants. Perhaps there'll be a kind of quiz that you'll be able to hold in, well, let's say 5 years' time. And you've got to remember which variant was around at which time. And won't that be just fun to do that? So here we are once more, a Christmas that has a little bit of a feeling like last Christmas, which we promised 5 days of it, weren't we? And it rapidly came down to one, but only if you really must. And this year does have that same kind of feeling about it. So what for you would make for a happy Christmas? Perhaps some of the things you're hoping for, family gatherings, are not now happening. People are testing positive, aren't they, left, right and centre? And maybe that was your family gathering that's gone down, if you will, in flames. What makes them for a happy Christmas? Well, for a lot of people, it wouldn't have been anyway. Forget the variants. Forget government cancelling things and the rest of it there. We're missing loved ones, people that won't be here with us, who used to be with us, and who are with us many years, perhaps, and they'll be missing. And family gatherings, which may happen, but where loved ones who used to sit in their place and make their contribution to it, maybe cook the lunch, they won't be there to do it. They're no longer here. Perhaps our health is really impacting us quite seriously. And that's the whole story for us at the moment, or the health of loved ones, and we're concerned for them. And that will be what dominates actually our thinking. Maybe worries. A lot of people, isn't it? They're worries. Money worries. Worries about the future. Worries about where everything's going. That's a good question, isn't it, at the moment to ask. Where is everything going? And so, happy Christmas, you might ask yourself, well, really? And I want to say to you, actually, yes, whichever variants we may have, whatever your circumstances or mine might be, it is, and it remains so, because everything that really makes for Christmas, everything that really is what it's all about, that's what we've been singing about, that's what's been read to us, that remains unchanged, that is not cancelled. That is not subject to a variant kind of nibbling away from it, taking something out of it. It remains. Can't be changed. Can't be altered. Can't be bad news. Can't be cancelled. Because this is history. History. Friends is history. Facts. Friends are facts. Events are events. Happy events they are that we've been singing about, reading about this morning. Well, let me perhaps take this a little bit further, my second heading. Happy Christmas, really? And that's the question that goes with that there. How can this be? And in one sense, true. We've been singing about God. God of God. God's light of light. Verily begotten, not created. The Son of God. God. Second person of the Trinity, to be rather technical on that. Eternal being, glorious. Glorious in holiness. Awesome. Fearful in praises. That is God. I offer to you the thought, actually, this morning, it's harder work not to believe in God than to believe in him. Intellectually. And for all that big talk of atheists there, they have to work very hard, actually, on the data to hand, on the evidence. When you look at the human body, when you look at nature, just wonder at the things that you see. Hard work to believe that there is great intelligence, supreme power, wisdom that has framed it, made it, fashioned it, and made you to be the alert, living person that you are, with thoughts and skills to write things and calculate things and do all kinds of things. Ah, that is the handiwork, my dear friends, this morning. Let me tell you of God. He's beyond us, isn't he? Mention that in our prayers. Way out of reach. Being of eternal existence. No beginning, no end. A being that has no kind of location here. He's here, not there. Well, because he's everywhere. And knows everything. And is all powerful. And indeed is holding everything together at this very moment. Holding you together, holding me together, holding this world together. That's not like us, is it? Dwelling in heaven. Heaven above. Well, we mention angels and angels feature, don't they, lot in the narrative of what happened at that first Christmas. Angels, heaven, glorious home above. We sang about that. We don't need any star to guide there. We don't need any artificial light there. God is light and illuminates that place. I can tell you today, heaven is not locked down. Heaven is not subject to variants and troubles that they may bring. Angels do not wear masks. They might cover their faces, but that's because of the holiness of God, not because there are germs and viruses there. No, that is where God dwells. A self-existent God who is life in himself, for seeing everything, for knowing everything. And this world, doesn't it, have hints of that greatness and that power? Then you think, that was interesting. How did that happen? You were in the right place at the right time. Well, how did I get there? How come that I was just there, just in time, I don't know, to see some beautiful sight, to hear something that just, oh, swept you away? You see, God works and brings to us, whether we believe in him or not, beautiful coincidences, wonderful being in the right place at the right time kind of things. Prayers that are answered. We may not believe over much in God, but as you prayed, and something happened. The assembly, junior school, a few months ago, and after I'd spoken, a girl came up to me, said to me all. She had prayed about something, and it had happened. And it was very striking to her. I think she has a clear understanding, although she's been to Seekers Club and time passed, I might say, but it was for her, in her simplicity, she prayed, and something happened. And she was quite taken by that. Because that is what God does. He is generous to all. And yet, I have to say, dear friends, that I could very much put a whole chill, bring gloom upon us, and in a sense, I am duty-bound to do that, because we are not in a good position vis-a-vis that God, toward him. Where you and I are, if we're not Christians this morning, then our position before this great God is not a happy one. Because we're rebels against him, actually. We think of him a bit, and we pray to him a bit, and we might marvel at things a bit, but we don't love him as we should. We don't pray to him as we should. And we don't worship him as we should. We don't read the Bible as we should. Glean from it. Think, what have I got to do? What have I got to know here? What is God asking me to do? What's his will? Tell me, I need to know. Just isn't that eagerness. Just isn't that zeal. Because actually our hearts put it strongly here, full of hate towards him. We don't appreciate him. Appreciate him a bit, but we don't appreciate him much. And we resent. We're rather unhappy with the laws that he gives us. Rather unhappy with our lot in life. Rather unhappy with all the things that go, actually, in many ways, to make this world beautiful. We don't appreciate it, and we don't appreciate him. So we hear, actually, what Mary said what we call the Magnificat, isn't it? In Luke chapter 1, which was read for us, our second reading, this morning. And right there, actually, my attention was drawn to verse 48, where she says this, and she is there, and she's visiting Elizabeth, relative of hers, cousin, and she's now in her sixth month. She's an old lady. She's expecting a baby. There is something. We thought about that the other day, because nothing is impossible with God. And as Mary comes, and Elizabeth knows that Mary is carrying the child, he called the Son of God, to call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And she begins with, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour." Not just Mary speaking this. This is actually the Holy Spirit speaking this in Mary. She's giving us words here beyond herself. And she says this, doesn't she? "But he has regarded the lowly state of his maid servant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Oh, her lowly state. Not exalted. Not sort of rich, famous, got all I need here, thank you very much. The opposite, she's saying. And she's talking about herself, yes. Where did she live? Nazareth. Was Nazareth an impressive place? Not at all. Very ordinary, very plain kind of town. Nobody expected anything good to come out of Nazareth, except that's where God spoke to, this humble, this lowly, this kind of nobody person. But God looked upon her, and she says, actually now, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. I was highly favoured, because God came to me, sent an angel to tell me that I was going to be the one that would bring into the world the Saviour of the world. But you know, she's not just speaking for herself there. She's really speaking about all of us. That's our place. We are all in a very lowly state before God. We have nothing to impress him with. We have nothing to give to him. We have no virtues or great intelligence or great wisdom that we can offer to him and expect him to be pleased with that and satisfied with that. We're all in a very low, very abject, very weak state before him. Because we're sinners. Mary was a sinner. And we all of us are. Not with God. Not for God. But against God. So that news in that, is there? That in itself would not make for a happy Christmas at all. That would tell us that we live under a cloud. We live under a sentence that God has placed over us. We who are lawless. We who act in ways, times that are just awful. But even if we maintain, you know, being quite polite, being quite friendly, being quite decent, still, we know ourselves, our imaginations, what they churn up. Horrible things that we think in our minds. And there we would remain, expelled, exiled, away from God today and away for eternity. So I better move on to my third heading. But it is a happy Christmas. Oh yes. We need to hear about the gloom. We need to hear about the darkness that we're sitting in. Because otherwise, none of the rest will make any sense at all. It always renders me a little curious. What do people make of Christmas and the coming of the sun? What is he doing? Why did he come? And I read leaflets that are sent round and booklets, and I'm clueless. I have to tell you, clueless. What's written, I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. Why all of this? Why angels? Why the virgin birth? Why are the shepherds in the field? Why are the wise men travelling? Why the gifts that they bring? What's going on here? Oh, it is. Because this is a very, very happy event. And a very, very extraordinary and unique happening, which can make all the difference in the world to you and to me. Not just back then, not just for the people who first saw it and were amazed and marveled, but for all of us, any of us who will listen, take seriously these things, and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a happy day. It is. In fact, every day for the Christian is a happy day. It's a happy Christmas day. You can have a happy March the 8th. You can have a happy June the 12th. You can have a happy October the 30th. You can have a happy day all the time. Because when you know that your sins have been forgiven, that's why he came. That's the explanation for all of this, that he came to forgive us our sin, for his peace with God, and to have his friendship and fellowship, and to know him and to be able to live with him, living with us, and having dwelling actually in your heart, because the Holy Spirit lives in the believer. Then you have everything. You really have everything. You have happiness because there's peace where it really counts the most, in your soul. Here, in the real you and the real me, in that place. For this tells us that God has done something remarkable. God has done something that seemed almost impossible, but that it wasn't. And the reason that it wasn't is because God is so full of compassion, so full of love. He might have left us where we were, in darkness, as rebels, and basically say, well, enjoy my world, if you will. Eat your food, drink your drinks, travel around the world, do what you will. I'll catch up with you later at the judgment seat, and there we'll review all the things you didn't do for me, all the things you never appreciated me for, the times in which your imaginations were somewhere else, really unclean and not good at all. We'll have a reckoning then. Could have done, could have said that's it, but he didn't. And Christmas tells us he certainly didn't. Because here, brought into the world, is the very person who can bring the answer to your need and to mine. And to give us now a relationship with God, which is not him, our enemy, and frowning at us, but him as our friend, enjoying his smile upon us. Oh yes. There is a smile in Christmas, because here God is showing, I'm not done with this world. That's what Mary saw. He's regarded me. He's looked at me. He remembered me. And she talks about him being remembered. He's helped his servant Israel, she says in verse 54 of Luke 1, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. He's remembered. Christmas tells us God's remembered. He promised that he would do something. He would do something. Because we couldn't. We can't help ourselves. We can't rise above our nature and become, as it were, superheroes. It's beyond us. But God can do the work for us and can send his son. Cherish him. That baby, don't we, there, and nativity scenes or whatever else that we look at and maybe have taken part in our schools. But the thing is, he's going to grow up, isn't he? Going to grow up. There's the beginning. Oh, what a beginning it is. That's telling us everything there. That Christmas. There's the beginning. But from that beginning, he is going to travel forward, travel onwards, live a full life, live an extraordinary life, teach in a way nobody had ever heard before, perform miracles that showed, I'm from heaven, I'm divine. But then also shows such humanity, the tenderness, the love he showed for his disciples and the time he spent with them. But all of that, he was taking, all of the wonder, all of the glory that Christmas speaks loudly to us of, he was going to take it to a very, very unhappy place. Taking it to the cross, taking it to his death. Because there, in dying, bringing this fragile little life that he began life with, and but then taking it on and through, it's going to the cross. And it has to go there. We can't hang on to him. We can't keep him in the manger forever. He has a work to do. That's why he was sent. That work requires of him everything. He's going to have to give his all. He's going to have to die carrying in himself, bearing the weight of God's wrath against our sin, God's anger against our unrighteousness and all the wrong things we've done and said, all our lawlessness, but he's going to bear the whole penalty of it, so that today, if we believe in him, you and I go free. That's happy. That's happy Christmas. That's a happy April the 5th. That's a happy November the 28th. That's happy. And that lasts not just for one day. That's not just for this season. And then, the dark days of end December and January upon us. Oh, and is there a lockdown coming, we ask. Oh, dear friends, don't be troubled over that. Here is your happiness. Here is your blessedness. That's what Mary's talking about here. There's a blessedness. I'm going to be called blessed, but actually she's speaking for others. All the people God has regarded in their lowly and weak and needy state, and his eyes have been opened, the wonder and the glory of God's gift, his own son, but who must die upon the cross. We can't keep him from that. We can't say no. Oh, stay in this wondrous state. It's got to have blood. It's got to have his agony. It's got to have his cries. It's got to have his sobs and his sighs. Because in that, he is carrying away our sin so that it is gone. As far as the east is from the west, it is gone. That it need no longer trouble your conscience nor mine. That we can look that there, in this wonderful gift, yielded up on the cross. Forgiveness, pardon, a sentence taken from us, a judgment day. It is not a day now to be terrified of, not death to fear. And you're right to fear it if you don't know these things for yourself. But for the believer, though we face it with assurance, confidence and hope, we believe for our loved ones who in recent times have gone, that's where they've gone. They'll be in God's presence. They'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ now. He rose from the dead and he's there in his triumphant kingdom now. And we can be there too with him. What makes for a happy Christmas? Well, it's in the word Christmas is Christ. This Christ. Christ who brings pardon for sin. A Christ who takes away our transgressions. Who brings to us the favour of God. There we are seen of God, regarded by him. And we will be blessed henceforth. By those who have missed this, they will call us blessed, they will. They will say, those people, they listened, they believed. Why didn't we? Don't be that person. Don't be the person who heard it, maybe heard it 100 times, but did nothing with it. You won't be blessed. You're under the curse. You'll be condemned. You'll be lost. But if you trust in all your heart in him, own your lowly state, yes, that's me. I'm under God's frown. I'm not in his favour. He condemns me. And I find the reasons there. They're in my own life. I can agree with that. Well, then you turn from that to this forgiving God, this pardoning God, this loving God, whose compassion, I can't do it justice. It's so immense, so free. And I trust you'll make for yourself a happy Christmas by believing in him. All your heart and all your soul, that you'll be captivated by him and his love and kindness every day of your life. So make not just December the 25th happy Christmas, but make every day happy Christmas to travel with him through your life. Till one day, the day comes, you're gone unless the Lord's returned. Fear it not, for then you enter into all the promise of eternity, of heaven itself. And all of that, my friends, is here in our Christmas message. Well, may you and may I have a happy Christmas indeed, because it's full of the one who makes for a happy Christmas, Christ himself.